right now, and that's public hearing, consideration of city council election district boundaries to include presentation on the redistricting process and permissible criteria be considered to redraw our brand new district boundaries with our brand new elected officials, and to receive public input regarding the composition of council election district boundaries. And I'm hitting the gavel on the sounding block and declaring the public hearing open, and City Clerk Kelly will introduce the item.
Mayor, this is City Manager Hall. I was asked to introduce the item and the consultant real quick. You already took my thunder. I think that you already mentioned it. We do have brand new districts, and so we wanted to remove some of the confusion here, and that is that even though we have brand new districts, and in fact, in districts 1 and 3, there has not even been a vote at this point in time. What the state law requires is that after each census, you go through and make sure that the districts are still similar in size in terms of population. And so the consultant will walk you through that. But I was also asked to make sure that we make reference to a resolution that was passed by the city council in 2018 when districts were first introduced that reads in part, "By this resolution, each council member hereby declares its intention to continue to endeavor to act in the best interest of the city as a whole, despite council members being elected to represent one of the city's 4 districts." And the reason we do that is it's very important, and I think it was important to the council then and important to the council at the current time, that even though we are elected, or the council members are elected by district, that they do act in behalf of and on behalf of all of the citizens in the community. And so we just want to make sure that even though there are districts, the council members do act as a unified body in making decisions that they believe are best for the entire community. So just wanted to make sure that the residents understand that as we talk about these districts that at times can separate the community. With that, Mayor, the consultant tonight is Shannon Kelly, and she's going to talk a little bit about the need for looking at our districts following the latest census. So I will turn some time over to Shannon Kelly. A very Irish name. So happy St. Patrick's Day.
But no relation to your city clerk. Hi there. My name is Shannon Kelly. I'm with National Demographics Corporation, and I'm very pleased to be working with you so quickly again, that we NDC are here again after you've gone through redistricting. But as City Manager Hall said, it's something that needs to be done every 10 years. The plan is I was going to walk you through a little bit of an overview presentation about where we stand and why we're talking about this again. And it will also tee up some of the information that we would hope to hear if anyone's going to comment in the public hearing. So with that, why don't we dive in? I think I need somebody forwarding my, turning my pages.
Shannon,
oh, there we go.
Hang tight. Okay, here we go.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So what is redistricting? City Manager Hall just kind of mentioned it, but basically redistricting is the process that pretty much every local jurisdiction across the state and across the country needs to go through every 10 years. Every 10 years, there's a census, all the population is counted. And so therefore every jurisdiction basically has a changing population. And at that time, after that data comes out, every city must look at their boundaries to make sure that everything, that the districts are evenly balanced from a population standpoint. And the idea is if they're not, they need to be rebalanced in order to respect kind of neighborhoods and geographical elements to make sure that you get the best possible districts for the following 10 years after the census. Go to the next slide. A lot of people are asking us throughout California and San Diego County, why are we doing this again so soon? And clearly in Imperial Beach, this is really soon. So there was an unusual situation that happened in a number of jurisdictions, including yours, where there were lawsuits brought under the Voting Rights Act or threats of lawsuits under the California Voting Rights Act to a number of jurisdictions about being at large instead of district-based for their elections. And so faced with this issue, the city of Imperial Beach basically went through a process in 2018, as City Manager Hall mentioned, to go from at-large elections to by district elections. You guys just did that in 2018, and actually only even had your first elections in 2020. However, at the time that you went through the process in 2018, the most recent census data that was available was from 2010. And that's just the way that it works. You get it every 10 years. So although the districts were very freshly drawn in 2018, they were drawn using 2010 data. So you're definitely in a situation where you have to go back, you have to look at the new 2020 census data and evaluate the map based on that. So that's one reason we have to go through and look at this process. The second reason, and I'm going to talk about it on the next slide, is California passed some legislation in 2019 called the Fair Maps Act, where they made changes to how they govern cities in the redistricting process. And even if you're balanced, you have to go through that process to comply with the Fair Maps Act. So this next page kind of talks about that. There are three layers of things that we need to look at when evaluating districts in any city. First of all, we have to look at federal law. We have to look at equal population, make sure that there's no violation of federal Voting Rights Act, and make sure that there's no gerrymandering. So when City Manager Hall mentions this issue of, are we balanced? Are the populations equal? The reason we care about that is compliance with federal law. Once you comply with federal law, then you go to this middle box, which is the California criteria. And let me just take a second on this because this is important for Imperial Beach. In your case, you're gonna see that you're balanced. So then the next question will be, but does the map you drew in 2018, does it comply with this brand new Fair Maps Act that was adopted in California? And the Fair Maps Act does two things. It has some process requirements about that you must follow in redistricting. That's why we have to have a time certain hearing and we have to have a number of hearings. But it also sets criteria in a numbered order, which is why it's listed this way on the slide. So you have to make sure that the map you have has districts that are geographically contiguous. That means they're touching each other, they're close together. You need to make sure that you respect neighborhoods and communities of interest so you don't divide up kind of socioeconomic or political areas that have unique things that would be tie them together. You need to use easily identifiable boundaries. That could be major thoroughfares like Palm Avenue. It can be the beach. It can be the I-5 freeway. It can be a river or an estuary, but identifiable and understandable boundaries for your city. And you want to have districts that are compact. So that's how we evaluate the state criteria. And then finally, after we've done all that on this last side, we do have some other traditional redistricting principles. Again, probably really important for Imperial Beach, one of which would be you're trying to minimize the shift for voters. You're trying to respect also the flow and timing of the election cycle. So obviously a city like yours that just went to these maps, you would be look at for an eye at minimizing another shift to the voters as you were thinking about how you wanted to handle the process. So keep this in mind as we go to the next slide. This is for those that are watching in the public. This is the current map that you guys have. And as you can see, just from an eyeball, you have a pretty compact, easy to follow and understandable map. And obviously one of the things we'll wanna see is how does it fit the Fair Maps Act criteria? But on the surface, it's a nicely compact, contiguous looking map. Go to the next slide. Okay, so I want to take a second with this this slide. So what we've got here is we have to start on the top some population data by district. And let me just actually answer the question that came up in that last discussion. The question was, what's the population from the census? Now, the actual population for the census for Imperial Beach that came out from the 2020 census is actually more than the number that's listed here. The number that's listed here, 26,230, is a California adjusted number. So the census counts heads, that's what they do from the federal government, they put out a number. But California in its wisdom has decided for all jurisdictions here in the state that they do an adjustment that has to do with group housing. It's primarily prisoner housing, and it basically does an adjustment California specific, and you're given the number that you use for redistricting. So the 26,230 is actually a California adjusted number that we were given that we have to use for redistricting. The number that came out raw from the Census Bureau for Imperial Beach was 27,596. So it's slightly above what it was 10 years ago. But for the purposes of the redistricting only, we're using the 26,230. Now, also not to get too complicated, but let me point you over to this number 9.1 that's circled in red. Again, the federal government sets out how they evaluate equal population, how they set a standard that says, is your map balanced and good enough to stay with what you have? And I always tell people, sometimes you don't want to question the methodology because it's just the way it's done, but it's basically a range of how far your districts are from the ideal population. And the ideal population is total population divided by 4. And so they do this calculated range that is, doesn't make sense if you took statistics in college or in school, but just believe us that your number is 9.10, and that's less than the 10% that courts have generally said you need to be below in order to be balanced. So from an NDC demographer perspective, we absolutely would concur that your map is balanced. So then the other thing I put at the bottom of this page was just a little bit of demographic data. It's actually looking at citizen voting age population, but it's got some demographic groups because obviously that's something that is often looked at in the state of California. So you can see by district 1 through 4, your Hispanic population, your white population, Black and Asian Pacific Islander, and the breakdown that you have by district. So we can move forward. Okay, that was a lot. I'm happy at the end to answer questions, but what this brings is kind of some options for you as a city council. Because you are population balanced, you check the box from a federal standpoint. We've also looked at the map, and if you look at the Fair Maps Act, it's pretty clear you're meeting the criteria for the Fair Maps Act. So with that, you guys do have the option to consider readoption of your current map, or you could direct us as your demographer to come up with some additional alternative maps, which you could consider and adopt one of those, or consider and then stick to what you have. But there's a process point that will, I think city staff will need some direction on as we go forward.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make sure to everybody and to the public, we're not making that decision tonight. All we're doing is authorizing the public review process and discussion or input process. Is that correct?
Yes, and there is a requirement. We're going to talk about it in the next page. The Fair Maps Act is going to require a set number of public hearings no matter what. It's okay. Just a question of how deep you want to go on a bunch of different maps.
Yeah, I just want to make sure for the council and for the public, we're not making this decision on these options yet. So before we have public input, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Anyway, thank you so much. And then let's go to public comment. City Clerk Kelly, do we have any public comment?
Mr. Mayor, I will begin with members of the public participating by Zoom. For the members of the public participating by Zoom, please use the raise hand feature if you'd like to speak. Mr. Mayor, there are no raised hands, and I do not have any written comments.
Great. Okay. And just to, for the record, we had a robust public input process last time and a lot of public participation. So it's actually a really interesting process. And because I'm a geographer, this is the kind of stuff that I absolutely love. Census data, like I live for that. And maps, it's even better. So anyway, with that, I want to close the public comment period. And so, but now we have council comments, if there are any, starting with Council Member Fisher. And just so everyone's aware, I'm going down the list. So everyone has an opportunity to start first. And then we cycle through the list. So every council member starts first, and then we go to the following council members. Council Member Fisher.
Yeah, I just want to echo Andy's thoughts about the resolution this past couple of years ago regarding districts. As one of the two new council members that were elected by a district, I can tell you, we we were definitely, you know, voted in by a district, but we represent the entire city. And I think that was a great reminder for Andy to bring up to not only the council, but to the public. You know, IB is really small, and it's hard enough for us not having the ability to vote on some of the critical things that are going to go on within the district that elected us, but the opportunity to represent members of the whole entire city of Imperial Beach is an important one. So I appreciate that, Andy. And the presentation was great. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Triggs.
I really want to echo those comments that you made, Mr. Mayor, and that Councilmember Fisher made, that in fact, I was one of the folks back when we were going through this, you may recall, Mr. Mayor, that really had reservations about going to districts, considering how small our community is. But we had to go that way because no city had successfully defended a lawsuit requiring them to go to districts. And typically the ones that attempted and failed ended up paying upwards of $1 million in legal and other fees. So we made a tactical decision to go to districts, even though many of us felt that our community is so small that we're really a cohesive community. After seeing the results, including the election of two new council members and Councilmember Leyva Gonzalez, particularly representing an area of the city that hasn't had representation before, I think it's a good deal that we've done this. But we still have to, I think it's wonderful. And I'm in support of the district system, no question about it. But let's recognize one thing. These districts are like the map of Africa. They're artificial lines. They cut across neighborhoods. They cut across, all sorts of, demographic areas, et cetera. They are not, there's no rivers, so to speak, that are natural boundaries, mountain ranges, whatever, that create different cultural areas, language areas, whatever. I really wholeheartedly support the idea that while we're going to a representative approach regarding elections, that's for the election process. And certainly that means that people have someone to turn to that's closer to their neighborhood, representing their neighborhood. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't all be 100% concerned about the well-being of all of Imperial Beach, because if something is not going well in some parts of Imperial Beach, it's hard to imagine how it's going well for the city of Imperial Beach. So we all, I think, are bound together to look to the well-being of the entire community. And I think that's what people would expect us to do. So I don't really have any comments other than those. And I would urge us to go ahead with the hearing process, the public participation, public hearing process that's suggested in the staff report.
Great, thank you. Councilmember Ruggieri.
Thank you. I want to echo what has been said. No doubt, we all represent our entire community, and that has been quite well demonstrated by our newest council members, Mr. Fisher, Mr. Leyva Gonzalez, being very much involved in even issues outside of the district, right? Because we all have a passion and a heart for our community. So I just want to echo that. I think that the process to establish these districts was quite robust. There was a lot of public engagement. There was a lot of public, input. And the way that they were designed was, I believe, very equitable. And I wouldn't want to reinvent the wheel, right? So I would be very much partial to just keep it as is, move forward with our hearings, continue to engage the public to receive public input, and move forward with this. That's it.
Great, thank you. I'm going to just make sure I close the public hearing again to make sure the timing's right. I'd like to entertain a motion to direct staff to hold a total of 4 public hearings to encourage and provide several opportunities for the public to offer input regarding the composition of council election district boundaries. Is there a motion?
Spriggs, so move.
Second?
Second.
Great, thank you.
City Clerk Kelly, there has been a motion by Spriggs with a second by Aguirre. To direct staff to hold a total of 4 public hearings. Councilwoman Aguirre, how do you vote?
Aguirre, yes.
Councilmember Leyva Gonzalez, how do you vote?
Leyva Gonzalez, aye.
Councilmember Fisher, how do you vote?
Fisher, aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Spriggs, how do you vote?
Spriggs, aye.
And Mayor Dedina, how do you vote?
Dedina, aye.
Motion carried unanimously.
Mayor, I need to make a corrective statement. I did not mean to diminish the work, including the science, the demographic science, the statistical science, the census-based science that went into drawing these districts by saying that it was like a map of Africa. I only meant to say that from the standpoint of the boundaries between the districts, there's really no real difference between one side of the street and the other side of the street in Imperial Beach, or one area and the other area. We have much more in common than we have differences. So that's really the point I was trying to make, not to diminish the process that resulted in these districts, which was a very rigorous process with a lot of community participation, as Councilmember Aguirre pointed out. But thank you for letting me make that clarification.
Well, as president of the Census Nerd Club, I forgive you.
Hey, Mayor, I didn't get an opportunity to chime in.
You did?
No, I didn't. But I'll make it very short and to the point.
I'm so sorry. I thought I called on you.
That's okay.
Sorry.
So with the district elections, I feel it's just it gave an opportunity for somebody with no political aspirations or background, such as myself, to be able to be the voice of a large majority of underrepresented individuals that live in this great city. And I think it's an awesome opportunity, and I will do my best. And I think that's one of the definite positives, because a lot of individuals out here just didn't feel that they were able to voice their opinion. So me representing them, they definitely have a voice. That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Next time, just call me out. I'm trying to go to the list and thought I were ending, so sorry. City Clerk Kelly has a statement to make.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to clarify that tonight's meeting is the first public hearing of the 4 hearings. So we have 3 more in the future.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Great. Now we have